And Lord, as we look over this past week and indeed over this past year on this special Sunday, may we be able to say, to God be the glory. Great things you have done in our lives. Maybe we're here today and we're not able to say that because we just really haven't been where you want us to be. And Lord, today may we make that commitment to live for you and to love you with the utmost of our being, even as the psalmist has said. Now, Lord, as we open your word together, may your Holy Spirit descend upon us. May he captivate our thoughts and the deepest intent of our hearts to the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and for whom we are most thankful. Amen. At a leadership prayer breakfast in Wheaton, Illinois in October of 2000, United States Marine Corps General Charles Krulak told the story of how he came to faith in Christ. In 1965, he was a young second lieutenant who had just graduated from the Naval Academy and had arrived at Quantico, Virginia for the next phase of his officer training. His roommate was John Listerman, and John was a Christian. That meant nothing to this man except that John was a really nice guy. After graduating from Quantico, he and John joined the same battalion preparing to go to Vietnam. John Listerman had become their platoon leader, and Krulak described him as a tremendous leader, committed to his troops, and his troops were committed to him. And he saw John Listerman as a Marine's Marine. And I pick up what he wrote. In December of 1965, John and I went to war. John Listerman's war lasted one day. While on patrol, moving through the jungle, we came around a corner in the trail and ran into an ambush. John took a 50 caliber round in his kneecap. As his kneecap burst, he was thrown into the air. Second round hit him below the heart and exited out his side. I was wounded also, but not as badly. I crawled about 30 meters to John. But before I could ask, "Are you okay? Can I do anything?" he said to me, "How are you doing, Chucker? Are you okay?" When I said I was okay, he then said, "Are my men safe?" I said, "Yes, they're okay." And he turned his head and he looked to the sky and he repeated over and over, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for caring for my men. Thank you for caring for me." I can't begin to imagine the pain that he was experiencing in those moments. See, John Listerman was not only a Christian, he was a Christian who knew how to live our Thanksgiving text. Let's read it together. "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Think about that. It was sometime after this incident that Krulak became a Christian. John Listerman, although seriously wounded, in his ability to lift his eyes to heaven and give thanks, expressed a deep, deep faith in the Lord. What a testimony. So here's the question this morning. Does this describe you? Be joyful. When? Always. Always. Pray when? Continually. Now that doesn't mean we're on our knees 24/7. It just means that 24/7 we can communicate with the Lord. We'll look at that in a moment. Are you in your life practicing what it means to give thanks in all circumstances? In all. Now there's an important word distinction there. It doesn't say for all. It doesn't say for all. It says in all circumstances, regardless of what it is that we're facing, are we able to give thanks?
It's God's will.
Okay? Now, my wife is going to come to the piano because we don't have music for this. It's kind of in her head and in her fingers. Okay? And this song was put to music, and I'm going to ask if you just stand with me and sing. And what you'll notice is each line you sing three times. Got you started off there. There are three verses, and then the verse finishes with "In Christ Jesus concerning you." When we get to after the third verse, we go back and we repeat them all as one verse. And if that's confusing, don't worry about it. Just follow along, and you'll get it. Okay. Other medium. Music helps cement God's word into our hearts. That's why I had you sing it this morning. Now, this may be Thanksgiving Sunday, but you know what? Every Lord's Day is Thanksgiving Sunday. Every act of worship is an act of thanksgiving, for without thanksgiving, it is not truly worship. Without thanksgiving, and I submit to you on a daily basis, one cannot truly live a vibrant Christian life. God's will for you is to live a joyful and prayerful and thankful life. You know, there are two types of people. You know, you can put that designator to an awful lot of things. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, there are two types of people. There are receivers. And they have a sense of need of God's blessing, and they ask God to bless them. And that's as far as it goes. And as they do, they are thankful for that, okay? Because they know God's presence and help in their lives. They receive from God. And then there are takers. They receive God's blessing too, but they don't do it from the heart of gratitude. They have a sense of entitlement. Now, God, this is what I need. God, this is what I want. And if God doesn't come through, God comes down a notch or two. Okay? Be a receiver, not a taker. What are you truly thankful for this morning? Are you thanking God for it? You know, I just read this here yesterday. This man and his wife went on this vacation, and he bought a brand new camera, and he was a good photographer, and he took these awesome pictures, and they came home from vacation, and his wife is showing these pictures all over the place, and people are going, "Oh, you know, your husband must have a good camera." And on it went, "Oh, yeah, that camera really takes good pictures." And there was this recurring theme in how people were complimenting them on the pictures. And afterward, he got so frustrated, he ran into his wife. "Why don't they ever talk about the photographer? I took the pictures. You know, I composed those pictures, etc., etc. Why don't they say, 'Boy, you take good pictures'?" And it felt so good to get that off his chest. And then his wife said, "Well, dear, how many times when you look at creation do you say, good job, God? You just say, don't trees look nice? You know, you put it all back into perspective, right? We need to focus our attention more on the giver and less on the gift. Amen? Amen. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, the hymn writer wrote. Then thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord for all his love. James chapter 1, verse 17 reads, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, because he is the source and he is faithful. Out of this verse come three imperatives. You have just sung about them. The first is, be joyful always. Is that easy? Oh, no, it isn't. You know, it is not. Joy isn't something that can be manufactured. You can't chase after it. Joy is something that is the natural result and the outgrowth of how we are walking with God in faith, how we are praying, how we are giving thanks in all circumstances, which is really a matter of committing what's happening in our lives to Him and helping us to experience His presence in our lives. See? By our nature, we find it easy to get down in the mouth when the difficult times come, because we're looking more at the wind and the waves, like Peter did in the message last week, where they were out on the stormy sea and Jesus came walking on the top of the water. And then Peter, in response to the Lord, got down out of the boat and crossed the water toward Jesus. And then what happened? You know the story. He got thinking more about the wind and the waves than he did about focusing on Jesus. And ka-ploop, you know, down he went. But he didn't stay there. He cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus did. And the point of that is he got his attention back where it belonged. See, joy is very much a part of the thankful heart. Samuel Shoemaker writes, the surest mark of a Christian is not faith. It's a little odd, isn't it? The surest mark of a Christian is not faith or even love. Now it gets a little stranger. But joy. Joy. That's the surest mark of one who is walking with the Lord and trusting Him and experiencing His presence. A lady who had particular occasion to be joyful, her husband was at his private breakfast club and she needed to speak with him, so she called his cell phone and was ecstatic when she heard it pick up on the first ring. Hello? Honey, it's me, she said. I'm at the mall, 2 blocks away from the club. I saw this beautiful mink coat. It's absolutely gorgeous. Can I buy it? It's only $1,500, dear. Well, okay, if you like it that much. Oh, thanks, dear. Oh, yeah. And I stopped by the Mercedes dealership. And I saw the new models. They're awesome. I saw one I really, really like. I spoke with the salesman. He says he'll give us an awesome price. Well, how much? Dear, it's only $60,000. Well, okay. But for that price, I want all the options on it. Oh, great. Now before we hang up, there's something else. It might seem like a lot. But, well, I stopped it by to see the real estate agent this morning. And I saw the house we'd looked at last year. It's on sale. Remember the one with the beachfront property and the pool and the English garden? Well, how much are they asking? It's only $450,000. It's a magnificent price for what we get. And we have that much in the bank. We can cover it. I'd like to know who they are. Well, then go ahead and buy it. But put in an offer for only $420,000. Okay? Okay, dear. All right, sweetie. Thanks. I'll see you later. I love you. I love you too. Now, I wonder who got the most joy out of that phone call. The wife who was having an awesome shopping day, or the man hanging up the phone calling out, does anybody know whose phone this is?
certainly wasn't the husband. Be joyful always. In every circumstance, allow the Lord to impart the joy of His presence in the knowledge that He's guiding you and He's with you. And He will see you safely through. Pray continually. That's simply another way of saying make everything a matter of conversation with the Lord. Bring God into the situations that you face. Thank the Lord for the guy that missed you when he cut you off. You know? Thank the Lord that you didn't hit that pedestrian who decided at the last minute to cross as you were making that left-hand turn. And on and on and on it goes. Thank you, Lord, when I dropped that special bolt in the grass, and I so need that bolt, and I can't find it. And a few minutes later, your eyes light upon it, not by accident. You go, thank you, Lord, right? In the daily affairs, in the nitty-gritty of our lives. Here's a verse that if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, it should be. You should refer to it from time to time. It should be in your heart and in your mind so it can, the Lord can bring it to your mind. Because if it's not in your heart, how can the Lord do that? Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Billy Graham wrote, prayer is more than verbally filling in some requisition blank. It's fellowship with God. It's communion with the Lord through praising Him. It's rehearsing His promises. And it's sharing our lives with Him. That's prayer. Praying continually is about conversing with God. It's a conversation. It's not a special language. It's not flowery, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's just God just wants to hear from our heart in the way that we pray. You know, some of you will remember Harry Shalasky. Not everyone here will. Harry is in a nursing home now. Harry had been badly injured in an accident. He was a truck driver. And he should not have come out of there alive. But he suffered significant brain damage as a result of that. But Harry helped us with our Awana program for a number of years alongside as an assistant to Ron Henderson. And when we would meet for leadership meetings, Harry would always put up his hand, I want to pray. I'll close in prayer, you know. And I loved his prayers. They were simple. They were broken. But they came from a heart that so deeply loved God, he just had to say so. Amen? Yeah. Don't listen to the words. Listen to the heart. Praying is about seeking God's will in our life and seeing the opportunities to serve Him and helping Him to make good value out of the situation that we're going through. Do you ever think about that? That God wants to make good value for His kingdom out of what you are facing. But then He promises to be with you. You know, if we didn't pray about them, we might well miss them. The Gospel Herald once reported the story of a little girl who in her bedtime prayers, having prayed for her family and her friends, concluded, "And now God, what can I do for you?" Right? She was reporting for duty. So the question is, are you on duty? It's a natural result of carrying on a conversation with God. And it's what prayer is mostly about. When we simply talk to the Lord about the everything in our lives, we begin to see His hand on us as He guides us through the everything, and life takes on a completely different perspective. The poor me is gone. A heavenly perspective comes, and it brings joy because we know His close presence. The third imperative, in everything, give thanks. In everything. Do you? Well, once again, That's one of those real challenging ones. It's such a simple verse, isn't it? It's such a simple verse, but it's so challenging to put into practice. It's learned. In every circumstance we face, God can work His purposes and bring about miracles. No telling what that miracle may be. It may be small or great. It really doesn't matter. All miracles are great. God wants to work miracles in our lives, and that alone is a miracle when you stop to think about it. Every circumstance, even in and especially in the burdens that we bear, God can work out His purposes, and out of every capital letters, every situation, bring about His good for us and His kingdom. Say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Just caught you by surprise. You couldn't get your tongue working there for a moment. Romans 8:28 is another verse that you ought to have memorized. Many of you do. Here it is. Let's read it together. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. No doubt, sure thing, count on it, never question. We know that in all things, that's the hard part, the all things, whether they're good or bad. God, who better to be at work than God? God is at work, and He never fails. And He is at work for your good and for His glory. I want to introduce you to a young man from Togo. By the way, November the 11th, mark your calendar. It's Togo Day. It's Remembrance Day, okay? And we're going to compress that. And our missionaries from Togo are going to be here that the team from here went out last November to work with. And while we were there, Patty and I met this man. Now, I met him because I was assigned to cut grass around the hospital area with the tractor and the rotary mower. Little aside, it was so hot, 100 degrees in the shade, with the heat off the engine off of that diesel tractor, that I would only cut till 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay, it'd start about 8:30 and cut till 10 o'clock, and then we'd go working on the house because it was just too hot. But one morning, I met this man. The building behind him is just to the side of the main entrance inside the hospital compound. The building is for those who are recovering from injury. They're in the midst of a treatment program, but they're like an outpatient because they don't need a hospital bed, but home is too far away to go to and return in a timely fashion for their ongoing treatment. So they live. It's just a great big building with cubicles, if you will. And around the back side of the building, here was this young man with a great big smile on his face. And he was waving at me. So I shut the tractor off and stopped to chat with him. His English was very good. He has a brother living in Montreal. This man was and is a joyful Christian. And it was such a treat to meet him and talk with him. Patty met him as well. Patty, do you remember the name of that building? It makes so much sense when you hear it, and my memory, but this building, what they called that? They called it something. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but they had a special term, and if I could give you the term, you go, that makes sense, but I can't remember it. Neither one of us can remember his name either. We didn't think we would ever forget. And I'm talking with Patty this week. I said, what's his name? She says, you mean Mr. Happy? So we have dubbed him Mr. Happy because neither one of us can remember his name. I could tell in my conversation, and you can tell from the pictures, like, look at his foot below the bandage. It's all caved in and scarred and healing. You know, look at his other foot. You know, his heel is raised up in the air so he can stand level instead of like this. He was a taxi driver. He'd been in an accident with a truck some months before. Shouldn't have lived. As we talked, I noticed that his arm, the one with the bandage, had a rather unusual movement to it when he moved. And when I inquired about that arm, he took it with his other hand and he moved it. Except when he moved it, the top part of his arm didn't move. You get the picture. See, he was missing several inches of his humerus bone. And so I said, "What's next?" He said, "I'm waiting for an orthopedic surgeon to come from the United States. Day after day, week after week." And I'm not sure how many weeks it was adding up to, but it was a few. Might almost say month after month, but maybe not quite. He was waiting. No one knew when an orthopedic surgeon would come. He just knew that one day, one would, and they could fix his arm for him. He couldn't drive, of course. He would be unable to earn any income until his arm was fixed and healed. But I promise you, he did not have a single worry in the world. Right, Patty? That was what was so amazing about him. It's God who's looking after me. God is giving me strength. And he would, "God is giving me strength." Well, he wouldn't do it with two hands. Just did it with his one. And I just had to stand there in awe of this Christian brother in Togo and the depth of his walk with God. In everything, folks, give thanks. He was. Are you? It's a challenge, yet it is essential, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. As we prepare to come to the communion table this morning, the team is going to come and lead us in a song. It's "What the Lord Has Done in Me," and the deacons will join me at the table as we come to the conclusion of that song. Think about the words of this song and how it leads you into God's presence. And then ask him if you're being thankful enough.
Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say,
let's pray.
Father, here we stand before this table of remembrance. Enter into this sacred time together of remembering your body broken for us and your blood shed. How can we ever begin? How can we ever begin to adequately say, thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross? Father in heaven, on this Thanksgiving Day, we remember the many, many blessings that you have poured out upon us, and we remember the way that you're at work in our lives, and Lord, we praise you for what you have done for us and what you do in us as well. But Father, as we prepare to take the bread and the cup this morning, may we most of all be mindful of you and give thanks to you for our great gift of salvation purchased by your blood shed at the cross. Captivate our hearts to your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound,
Lord Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us on that cross, that you died on that cross for our sins, and that we never forget, mm-hmm. and and that we always remember what you've done for us, your body broken, leaving us the opportunities to grow for the great sacrifice that you made for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. In thanksgiving, receive the bread. Together.
Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks to the Holy God.
Give thanks because He's living Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give
pray. Father God, how we thank you and praise you for the priceless gift of the blood of Jesus, the blood that reconciles us to God and brings us into your family. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanksgiving, receive the cup.
In thanksgiving, Lord, we say amen and amen, and we pray upon your people, the Lord to bless you and keep you, the Lord to make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord to lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Amen.